With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
KCBS, in partnership with UCSF Health, presents As Prescribed, a weekly conversation with leading medical experts from UCSF Medical Center and UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals.
Hello and welcome to As Prescribed. I'm Kathy Novak. The pandemic continues to put a strain on many people's mental health, and COVID's wide-ranging impacts have affected people already suffering from conditions such as depression and anxiety. Almost one in five Americans lives with a mental health disorder, and UCSF is working on a new approach to mental health services. Here to explain how is Dr. Matthew State, professor and chair of psychiatry at the UCSF Weill Institute for Neurosciences. Dr. State, welcome to As Prescribed.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Dr. State, the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences is getting a new home at the Nancy Friend Prisker Psychiatry Building. Can you tell us a little bit about how this is going to help you change care for patients?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So we're incredibly excited about the new facility. You know, thanks to the generosity of John Pritzker and Lisa Stone Pritzker and tremendous support from UCSF and the UCSF health system, we got a blank sheet of paper about 5 years ago to think about what the future of psychiatry should look like with regard to what a facility should be. And that's an extraordinary opportunity, really. And what we were able to do was to think about sort of practically how to make a building that really was patient and family centered. And made it as easy as possible for people to seek care. So this is across the lifespan. We go from the youngest kids all the way through geriatric psychiatry. And what we were able to do was to bring together multiple disciplines in a single building that allow us to provide really comprehensive care without needing to run around a medical center to get what you need to get. So in addition to psychiatry and psychology and other allied professions, we have pediatrics in the building. Adolescent medicine is in the building. So developmental medicine, which is a pediatric specialty focused on kids who have developmental challenges. And we have colleagues from neurology and radiology and, in fact, OBGYN in the building in order to be able to help provide as much as possible patient-centered care. That's quite unusual for a psychiatry building. Typically, it's sort of off in the corner and you go and have your mental health thing over there. And that was both a practical goal, but it was also a philosophical goal, because one of the things that the building also allows us to do is make a really strong statement about mental health and about where it belongs in medicine, in the heart of medicine, and not marginalized.
And do you think, too, that it might help remove some of the stigma that might be there when you're talking about that situation, like you're saying, that it's like, go to that other building where psychiatry lives. It's some separate thing to the rest of health. This is perhaps, you know, one doctor just referring to another doctor as part of your overall health plan.
Absolutely. I mean, that is, in fact, a core driving mission of this building, addressing stigma. And we do think that there are multiple ways to do that, embedding it in medicine and also creating a space that really reflects how, as an institution, how UCSF feels about the mental health enterprise that we hope is a powerful statement that against stigma. And in fact, you know, the name of the building, Nancy Friend Pritzker Building, is named in honor of John Pritzker's sister, who died by suicide decades ago after graduating from Stanford and starting out life in Chicago. And one of the things that has actually been most rewarding about as the building has come together is that the experience that John Pritzker had and the family had in never talking about this. I think he described sort of the door was slammed shut because there has been so much shame and blame associated with mental illness. And I think that, you know, sort of the culmination of this effort to try to address stigma through this building and the services that we're going to provide here really culminated in the naming of the building. And as you walk in, there's a plaque and a portrait of Nancy. And it really is for us as a reminder of how important it is to address stigma and to move mental health really into the light.
And something that we're dealing with every day now, you know, you mentioned Nancy Pritzker there, you know, just recently we had in the news the death by suicide of Stanford star, soccer star, Katie Meyer. And again, talk about the need to talk more about mental health, to talk and look out for, you know, signs of kids at risk. What do you think that adults should be looking out for, whether they be family, doctors, whoever, when it comes to risk in children?
Yeah. So multi-part question. I would say first that I think one of the, if there's, you know, it's hard to say that something good is coming of this pandemic, but I do think that coincident with the pandemic and all the challenges that we've been facing in our field with increased demand, increased stress and increased rates of a number of illnesses, including in children and adolescents, from eating disorders to rates of suicide in adolescents. Those are all terrible and difficult things. At the same time, there has begun to be a broader and more open conversation. I think, you know, hard to turn on a television, watch the Olympics, or hear about professional athletes or movie stars or music stars now, where there's not a discussion about mental health and emotional well-being. And so I to some degree, I think that the pandemic has really pushed that, and it's pushed relying on technologies and things that we you know, pretty much rejected as a field, or at least were not grasping 5 years ago, now become a critical part of extending our services. So that's all been a positive. And I think it gets at, I think, your question about how you deal with children and adolescents who are suffering. And really the first and most important thing is bringing this into the open and talking about it. So it's becoming much more commonplace whenever you see your pediatrician or when you go to a doctor to be asked about your mental health. And again, that signals in a small question, such an important thing. It's okay to talk about this as part of medicine. And I think for parents, one of the, you know, most important messages is to not be afraid of engaging in the conversation. That you do not push someone to be depressed by asking them how they're doing, or to go down the road and talking with them about how they're feeling. And you don't prevent someone from self-harming by not having the conversation, raising the conversation with them about self-harm. In fact, it can be tremendously helpful for people who are harboring these concerns to feel like it's okay to talk about. And then there are just this, you know, a wide range of resources that are out there.
Yep, absolutely. And one of them, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. We'll make sure to get a link up as well. Dr. Matthew State is professor and chair of psychiatry at the UCSF Weill Institute for Neurosciences. And I'm Kathy Novak. Thanks so much for tuning in to As Prescribed.
As Prescribed, every Thursday at 1:30, right here on the Bay Area's news station, All News 106.9 at AM 740 KCBS, and streaming on the Odyssey app. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.